This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Everybody, we're back. Should I be screaming when we're back in the same room?
You're doing it.
But it's happening. Things are happening.
Yep.
There's nothing that anybody can do about it. The game is afoot. It's great to be back in the studio for the second time. I just feel like it's been decades since I've been here. You know what I feel like in here? Bit of a newsman.
Oh my God.
Just a bit of a newsman. I mean, look, we're in a studio. We've been in this studio many years, but yet when we come back to it, bit of a newsman feel. Okay. So tonight at 6 o'clock Eastern, we're live with Atticus Berry and a lot of the news. In fact, most of the news, and everything's gonna be great. Some of the news is disastrous, of course. So it's good that we start on an upbeat note, as things can be a roller coaster around here. We're at the same desk, Casper.
We are. Would a newsman waste time on a news show? By not talking about the news?
No, probably not. That'd be called vamping. And there's no need to vamp. We're already doing, we gotta do the news. All right, so.
I'm extra salty today, so brace for impact, as you like to say.
Okay.
Okay, brace for impact.
Okay, last time that happened, I lost $400. I am not in a salty mood, so you never know what's gonna happen. Anyways, guys, seriously, I'm fully vaccinated. We're back in the studio. Mm-hmm. We're about a million miles from each other, but that's okay. That's great. Okay. Probably preferable, to be honest. But you know what we're going to do now? The news.
We're going to do the news. Let's start off with something that's gotten quite a few progressives in a tizzy. And of course, it has to do with a photo that went viral. A photo featuring Senator Kyrsten Sinema has gone viral. Not only does it point to her quirky sense of humor and her unique sense of style, but she's wearing in that photo a ring that has a very specific message on it. As Melanie Zanona writes on Twitter, Kyrsten Sinema, the Senate's most colorful member, posts a pic of herself on Instagram rocking an F off ring and sipping what looks like sangria. Oh, how cute. Now, look, we don't know for sure whether or not the ring is meant to signal any type of message to any specific group of people, but progressives saw this as Sinema essentially sending a message to any opponents who criticized her for voting down a $15 an hour minimum wage. I'm sure many of you guys can remember that moment. Let's take a look at what that was like.
Miss Sinema. No.
right, so Cenk already has a comment on this.
Go ahead. I do. So listen, we're gonna do a poll on it, tyt.com/polls, on whether she meant it or not. Do I think that it's necessarily something about $15 minimum wage? No, I don't think it's that specific. That's my guess, right? But is it meant as a political message? That's the question we're gonna ask you guys, but my jury's in on it. Yeah, she's a United States Senator, and so she's not going to have an F off ring on accidentally. She didn't match those glasses and that hat accidentally. She didn't put that on Instagram accidentally. No, that's a message. Now, I'd like to note for the record, as Anna's about to explain to you in detail, that pretty sure she didn't wear that ring when she went to go see her corporate donors. She wouldn't say that to them, but would she say it to you since you're the voters? Oh, hell yeah, she just did.
Now, before I get to the details about her corporate donors, what I want you guys to take away from this story is how little she cares. She really doesn't care. She doesn't care about the backlash she received after she voted against a $15 an hour minimum wage on the Senate floor. She doesn't care about what the potential ramifications or consequences could be, because to be quite honest with you, she's not expecting consequences. And given how lawmakers have behaved, not just in like the last election cycle, not just in the last 5 years, but for a while now, it's clear that there won't be consequences, because when you gotta choose between corporate donors or doing right by your base or right by your voters or right by your constituents, the majority of whom want a $15 an hour minimum wage in the state of Arizona, she's gonna go with their corporate donors. Okay, so let me give you these details. This was reported by David Sirota's outlet known as the Daily Poster. They also post over at Jacobin, and they write that Senators Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin will headline the national conference of the restaurant lobbying group, the National Restaurant Association, that led the battle to block the wage increase and that is fighting a separate Democratic measure to make it easier for workers to form unions, meaning the PRO Act. Now, there's been a lot of attention on Senator Joe Manchin and how he did pay lip service to constituents who do want to pass the PRO Act, but it's good. It's good that the DSA's organizing and phone banking is applying enough pressure to get someone like Manchin to at least say that he'll co-sponsor the PRO Act. But I also want to be clear that whatever members of the Senate say right now, you still have that legislative filibuster in place. So I have this feeling, and I think it's with good reason, that Manchin just wants the DSA and progressives off his back, and he's like, whatever, it's not going to pass in the Senate anyway. Sure, I'll co-sponsor it. Unless he's willing to get rid of that filibuster, or in the very least, reform the filibuster, it doesn't matter what he says he's gonna co-sponsor. That doesn't mean we don't continue applying pressure, but understand that a lot of the pressure needs to be focused on getting rid of the filibuster or reforming it to actually pave the way to get, you know, laws or bills like the PRO Act passed.
Yeah, so first of all, the other part of the theatrics of Kyrsten Sinema is that she wants to do what we've talked a lot about on the show, which is change on the outside, continuity on the inside, right? And so she does these theatrics, the theatrical way that she voted down minimum wage, the theater of that particular picture on Instagram. And by the way, let's note for the record the irony, or perhaps the appropriateness of a senator named Sinema obsessed with theatrics. So now, when they go to meet with the restaurant association, and then they immediately get checks from people from the restaurant association, and the restaurant association is not only against the PRO Act, I think the PRO Act is a little bit more complicated, but clearly 1,000,000,000% against $15 minimum wage. And then coincidentally, Manchin and Sinema will vote against the minimum wage and make a big show of A, voting against it, haha. Manchin proudly brags about killing things like that. Sinema did the hip swirl as she voted against it. Then she sends a message to you guys saying, F off, you guys aren't important to me at all. She would never dare wear that ring when she goes to meet with the restaurant association, okay? And that boy should be, oh, please, please. Now, there's not a single reporter in the country, apparently, among the national media. David Sirota covers this, he does a great job. Washington Post, New York Times, do you guys exist? Do you think that maybe the corporate donations they get from the Restaurant Association and the Chamber of Commerce and the Business Roundtable, et cetera, might be relevant to their vote on the minimum wage, might be relevant to their vote on the PRO Act? Yet you never put that in any of the articles. The national media is embarrassing, embarrassing, okay? So, and the reason why Kristen Sinema can tell her own voters to F off is because she knows you said no consequences. Why no consequences, Anna? Because the media sucks.
So the media would report it. I mean, it's not like this is a secret. Yeah, they're corrupt. They're all corrupt. And then what? Like, that's my point. And then what? And then what? And then what?
No, but Anna, okay.
And then what?
No, I would love to get the and then what. And I will tell you then what. So right now, the media reports Manchin and Sinema as moderates and centrists, mm-hmm. which makes them look reasonable. Oh, they're between the Republicans and the Democrats, which makes them look reasonable. If they kept talking about, oh, they voted against minimum wage, and here are their corporate donors that agreed with that policy, and here's the checks that they sent to Manchin and Sinema, right? Well, that would get through to people. We are in news. We have it up to here with political information, okay? So we all know how corrupt Manchin and Sinema are. Do you think people in their state know? No, especially among Democratic voters. Republican voters know about corruption, and they've gone to crazy conspiracy theories to fight it, but at least they're aware of it. When you go talk to Democratic voters, they're like, no, I read the New York Times and I listen to NPR. All of our Democratic senators are angels. Angels sent it from above. And the ones that are the most right wing are the most moderate and centrist and reasonable. That's what the New York Times and Washington Post tell me, so it must be true.
I think one of the mistakes you make, though, is assuming that Democratic voters, and I'm not talking about potential Democratic voters or working people who actually don't vote at all because they don't think that lawmakers are going to do anything for them. Most Democratic voters at this point represent the managerial class. These are people who are college educated. These are people who are well-to-do. These are people who are not concerned about a $15 an hour minimum wage to the extent that we are. And that's also a problem. Yes,
so that's a big chunk of the Democratic voters, I agree. But that is not, I'd be shocked if that was the majority. But look, guys, what does the Democratic Party stand for? If it turns out we stand for the management class, well, we're gonna flip, we're gonna lose all of our advantages, and we're gonna win no elections going forward. So look, Anna, but the bottom line is the rest of the electorate does not know what we know and what our viewers know, because we cover it every day, right? But the rest of the media, in their absolute protection of the corporate Democrats in the Senate and the House, aids and abets their corruption. So look, last example here, Ted Cruz, when he went to Cancun, everybody covered it wall to wall. Oh, look at the hypocrisy, etc. If they gave that same coverage to Manchin's donors or Sinema's donors, mm-hmm. their approval ratings would plummet like Cruz's did. And then all of a sudden, then they'd be like, oh, no, like Cruz did. All of a sudden, tough guy Cruz, right? Apologetic, I didn't mean to go to Cancun, I was doing it for the kids, but I didn't mean it, etc., right? And then all of a sudden, Manchin and Sinema are dancing into a different tune. Mm-hmm. But it's like the cops. There's no consequences, there's no accountability. So they get to do whatever they want because the media will not report on their corruption at all costs. If people knew how corrupt they were, mm-hmm. their poll numbers would be disastrous. And then they'd turn around and have rings of, oh, I love you, I meant $18 minimum wage. So I guarantee it, that's definitely how politics is. Anyway, one last thing. Look, guys, I'm gonna gratuitously say, I don't love the PRO Act here. There's parts of the PRO Act I don't agree with. But whether I agree with it or not, when somebody like Mark Warner, and to add to the list of people who are against the PRO Act, mm-hmm. says that he doesn't agree with certain provisions, even me agreeing with some of what he's saying policy-wise goes, I don't believe you. Why? After Warner goes and does some of the things that he does in favor of corporate America, they, like Amazon sends them huge checks, right? And after all the Amazon executives send him checks, I no longer believe a word he says. I don't know that it's based on principle or that they bribed him. And yes, Mark Warner, I don't care about your feelings. When you take tens of thousands of dollars from Amazon executives right after a vote, even if you're not the most corrupt man in America, you look like the most corrupt man in America. So either change the system or don't cry about us calling you corrupt, because these look like obvious bribes.
All right, well, let's move on to our next story, and it has to do with how Senate Democrats are kind of navigating this corporate tax hike in order to pay for Biden's infrastructure bill. So, looks like Senate Democrats have already settled on only increasing the corporate tax rate from 21% to 25%. The Biden administration has proposed increasing the corporate tax rate to 28%, even though it was 35% before Trump cut taxes on corporations and the wealthy. Now, we're learning through reporting by Axios that Democrats who've privately hinted they may be uncomfortable with going to 28%. And that includes Senators Tim Kaine, Mark Warner of Virginia, Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona, and John Tester of Montana. So we're talking about conservative Democrats here who have been bought off by the very corporations who have a vested interest in keeping their corporate tax rate low. Increasing the rate from 21% to 25%, which is what they're proposing here, would raise about $600 billion over 15 years. It would leave President Joe Biden well short of paying for his proposed $2.25 trillion 8-year infrastructure package. And before I go to you, Cenk, I think it's important to take a look at how Senator Chris Coons, a conservative Democrat, is messaging on this bill, because it's not just about keeping the corporate tax rate low. We now see a growing number of corporate Democrats calling for essentially cutting more of the popular provisions in Biden's infrastructure plan. Take a look at what he had to say.
The question I have for you, Senator Coons, is what's in it for Republicans to agree to a plan in which Democrats can act bipartisan to pass part of the bill, but then they ram the rest of it through on a party line reconciliation vote?
Well, Chris, the broader question you're really asking is what's in it for our country and what's in it for the people we represent from our states if Republicans and Democrats work together to solve problems. I think that if we come together in a bipartisan way to pass that $800 billion hard infrastructure bill that you were talking about, that I've been urging, then we show our people that we can solve their problems. We've all agreed for a long time that we need to invest more in American infrastructure. We just disagree about how to pay for it.
So Coons is essentially repeating what you hear from a lot of Republicans on Fox News. Oh, you know, this bill, it just has too much in it. We need to focus on infrastructure. And Coons seems to be in agreement with them. And obviously, this is in an effort to keep the costs down in order to prevent any tax hikes on the wealthy and on corporations. That's what this is really about.
Okay, guys, this is an epic disaster. And how progressives react to this will be, well, it'll be everything. So let me explain. So you know, Trump cut the corporate taxes from 35% to 21. So Biden said we're gonna move it back up to 28. That's not back up. That's halfway to 35%. So already Biden was, I think, literally terrible on the issue, okay? 28% is not back up to 35%. So it's basically Biden saying, yeah, I wanna give a giant tax cut to the wealthiest corporations in America by not undoing Trump's tax. Now, he then has signaled a willingness to concede on even the 28%. And now Axios openly, all the senators in Washington openly talking about 25%. So it's gone, 10% from 35 to 25. That is gigantic. Gigantic. That is the Democrats doing what they always do. You take the Republicans' gifts to the rich and to the corporations, and then you shave a little off the top and then make them permanent. That's the same thing Obama and Biden did with the tax cuts for the rich that Bush passed, but couldn't make permanent. So, no, this is total good cop, bad cop. I want no part of it. Second of all, the infrastructure bill, Coons. Now, Coons is really important. One, he's one of the most conservative Democrats, right? But two, he's from Delaware and one of Biden's top allies. He was almost gonna go in the administration. One of his top advisors in his campaign was one of the top surrogates, okay? Why do I tell you that? Because Coons is Biden.
Yes, exactly.
So Biden is sending Coons out to say, go ahead and tell everybody we're gonna cut the living crap out of my infrastructure bill.
Yep.
So because he never meant it. He never meant it. So this is the proof in the pudding. If the progressives in Congress still can't muster up how to oppose him, for they're hopeless. All right, so now let me give you more details. Coons says, well, maybe we do, instead of 2.2 trillion, which is Biden's proposal, maybe we do 800 billion. Oh, that's it. This bill's gone. Then Collins comes in, Susan Collins, a Republican, but part of the group of 20 so-called bipartisan Republicans and Democrats. You know what that is? That's a corporate group. That corporate 20 will control every piece of legislation, and Biden will secretly cheerlead for it, okay? So they're saying, and you know why they're saying 800 million, and specifically Coons is saying it? So that when Biden settles on around 1.1 trillion, they'll say, what do you mean? We got the Republicans up from 800 million. But it wasn't the Republicans, it was Coons, who's Biden's guy. Mm-hmm. So Biden is undercutting himself so he can brag about getting only half of his number. Now, back to Susan Collins. I brought her up because she says, well, we should only keep the parts that are about infrastructure. In other words, anything relating to Green New Deal, we're gonna kill. Mm-hmm. Now, if they kill the parts that are about the Green New Deal, they cut it to half, they make tax cuts for corporations permanent at a deep, deep level, and they don't include $15 minimum wage, which is the track that we're on right now. That's the track we're on right now. If they do all that, that is a miserable bill. And then, of course, all of Washington media and all of the Washington Democrats and all their fanboys and girls would come in and go, oh, Jake, that's the best we could do. There was nothing else we could do. There was nothing we could do. It was the best we could do. That's why we screwed everybody. Now you need to cheerlead for the Democrats. And my answer to that, all of your answers to that should be, hell no. Okay? So let's see what you got, Biden. But I guarantee you right now, we are voices in the wilderness. All of us progressives. I mean, Bernie barely fights for us at this point. So you think we're gonna win on this stuff? No, we're gonna get slaughtered on this stuff. And then, but the progressives better not sit back and go, I don't know. Is there anything we can do politically? Because then you're no different than Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden, and then we're in a lot of trouble.
I mean, what happened to no excuses? They have the slim majority in Congress. I get it. There's a legislative filibuster in the Senate, but we're not talking about unpopular provisions in this infrastructure bill. We're not only talking about the environmental components of it, but remember, there's also a component that provides income for individuals who have to essentially stay home from work in order to provide elder care. Like, there are parts of this provision that are popular all around. And if Democrats are willing to fold this easily on the infrastructure bill, I mean, what happened to making the child tax credits permanent? Right, that's not even included in the infrastructure bill. That's supposedly gonna happen in a subsequent proposal from the Biden administration.
Sure.
And like, really, they're gonna use all their political capital on getting this infrastructure bill passed. And if they're this weak on the infrastructure bill, I think it would be incredibly naive to think that they're gonna fight in order to keep those child tax credits.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Permanent.
No, look, I'm done trying to get progressive legislators to listen to reason. So we have to somehow burst their bubble. And the bubble is Washington, D.C. Everyone in there is telling them, oh, don't fight. Next bill, next bill, next bill. No, Anna's 100% right. There is no next bill.
There is no next bill.
There's H.R. 1, there's the infrastructure bill. There ain't nothing else. You think they're gonna go back to a $15 minimum wage and fight for that? They're not gonna do that. Honestly, if you're a progressive in Congress and you believe that, they're playing you for a fool. Ask them, give them a concrete example and date of when they're gonna release a bill that has $15 minimum wage in it and fight for it. And how are they gonna fight for it? They won't give you that answer. Nobody will give you that answer because that answer doesn't exist. They're gonna completely drop it. They're gonna go back to the daycare thing and make it permanent? No. Hey, you know what? Any so-called progressive in Congress, I'm just directing this to them. Name a number. I'll bet you any amount of money. You think Biden and Pelosi and Schumer are gonna help you pass $15 minimum wage, and then you're gonna go make that daycare thing permanent instead of 1 year? Name a number, name any number. You don't even know you're getting played, let alone the fact that you're gonna somehow rally, fight back when you've shown no fight at all, and derail what is about to screw us permanently in the corporate tax rate. Let alone the fact that they're not even talking about minimum wage. You guys, All right, good luck to you. Good luck to you, because you guys are all geniuses and you have it all figured out. Okay, so good luck.
We got to take a break, but when we come back, the Biden administration is shutting down one of their child migrant detention centers, and we'll show you why.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it,
"You must unlearn what you have learned."
And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
English teacher, 1984, in our member section says, "I'm uncomfortable with the corporate tax rate at 25%. It should be 38% with no loopholes." Mm-hmm. Hear, hear, brother. Irene says, "It's good cop, bad cop, but the good cop's not even doing a great acting job." Totally, except everybody in Washington is like, "Ooh, Joe Biden really wants to fight. Oh, he's like FDR and LBJ." At this point, that's just a sad joke. You'll see. If I'd love to be wrong, you know when I'm wrong, I come out and tell you. I ain't gonna be wrong. He ain't no FDR. He's going to fold on everything. He's not going to fold. He doesn't even want any of this stuff. Effectos writes, "Since student loan debt cancellation, gone. $15 minimum wage, gone. Raising the corporate tax rate, gone. How's Biden start his campaign? Quote, nothing will fundamentally change." Well, that's what he promised, and that's where we are. So you won line on that front, at least. A new YouTube member that hit the join button below, Pamela Twining. Pamela, you're kind of awesome. Bit of an American hero. Is that too much? Nah, just enough. All right, Pamela, American hero. All right, hit the join button, join her. Michael Goldman on YouTube Super Chat. "Always happy to give to TYT. Please do more coverage of progressive candidates like Odessa Kelly and Ron Abdelhamid. Even if our allies in Congress have fallen short, we must give them strength because they're all we've got." I hear you, and Odessa Kelly is a wonderful candidate. She's a great Just Democrat. She was released, that news was released recently. We're having on her on our programming. Having said all that, outside of Nina Turner, it's hard to get excited until we see just one thing that the Just Democrats do in Congress to fight back. I'm the guy who founded and named Justice Democrats. And so if I wanted to just have it be about my ego, I'd tell you, oh, they're doing an amazing job. Oh, amazing. You see that $20 minimum wage they got? No, my job is to be honest with you. So let's go, let's see some action. Otherwise, it doesn't matter what I think. I could have Odessa Kelly on the show a million times. You guys aren't gonna give her $5 because you think, what's the point? But the people that are already in there, they think, well, I'm already in here. So, okay, that's very nice. really teamwork there. Jacob Torres writes in, yay, I love to see the OG duo Cenk and Anna in the studio. The last news and Salt are all appreciated. Thanks for all you do, TYT. Jacob, we appreciate you, brother. Serena Butterfly Dragon, beautiful. Says, did you see the signs put up in Arizona? They play the video of her curtsying, point out all of her no votes on things voters want. I retweeted them, so great. I of course have not seen that, but that sounds awesome. Peter Hamby says, Manchin and Sinema are giving the GOP fuel to regain the Senate. It makes me wonder how much right-wing media is covering their acts. I bet a lot. Yes, I agree as well. Grandma Dragon says, it's so good to see you back in the studio. Much love. Grandma Dragon right back at you, sister. Much love. Trisha brings Cenk and Anna back in the studio. Best Monday ever. Thank you. And best Mondays being with you guys. We'll be right back. Turks, Cenk and Anna with you guys back in the studio. Feels great. I gotta be honest with you, it actually feels slightly weird. Like I got so used to the home studio, I'm like, is this okay? Am I allowed to do this? So it just, but I'm warming back up, as you can tell. I am such a random collection of like good feelings, optimist, positive guy. Get so mad about the stories. Anyways, all right, let's get mad again. Come on.
All right. Well, Biden, of course, has been getting a lot of backlash over the conditions in the migrant detention centers, so he's shutting one of them down. The Biden administration is shutting down one of the migrant detention centers that houses, or I should say detains, migrant girls. So these are minors and the conditions are so awful that they had no choice but to shut it down. Now, how awful are the conditions at this facility in Houston? Well, ABC News reports that sources familiar with the facility's operation said the girls housed there, ages 13 to 17, were at times instructed to use plastic bags for toilets because there were not enough staff members to accompany them to restrooms, which I think is all fine and dandy in this country where we have massive of corporations that literally force their employees to urinate in bottles because they're not allowed to take bathroom breaks. So we're just training them for the workforce here in the United States. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that, guys? Obviously, I'm being sarcastic, but we also learned that there's a lack of outdoor space and that meant that girls spent most of the day on makeshift cots surrounded by boxes intended to offer some semblance of privacy. The facility also suffered from overcrowding and failed to comply with pandemic-related distancing measures. There were about 500 girls in that detention center. They're now being moved out into other detention centers. And this ABC News video has some more details on what those centers look like.
They were more treated like merchandise rather than treated as human beings.
This migrant rights advocate toured the warehouse 2 weeks ago and was troubled by what he saw.
The girls were not allowed to get up unless it was to shower or to use the restroom. Even their meals were delivered to their cots.
The administration contracted the National Association of Christian Churches to run the site. They specialize in disaster relief, not caring for migrant kids. And this morning, there are serious questions about how this group was awarded a $4 million government contract in the first place. A lawyer for the church group tells ABC News the administration, including Health and Human Services Secretary Javier Becerra, personally requested their services and that they did what they could do to help under the direction of HHS. As for the girls, many now relocated to other shelters like this one in Carrizo Springs, Texas. Others reunited with their family.
Now, this is a growing issue at the border where unaccompanied minors are essentially being forced to remain in these detention facilities when in reality, many of them arrive with information about family members or sponsors within the country that they can go to. But that would require resources. It would require more manpower in order to go through the necessary checks before placing these children with these sponsors or with these family members. And we have a broken government that refuses to do it. So instead, we play musical chairs and put these children in one awful detention facility to the next. That's what's happening at the border. That's it. That's what's happening.
Yeah. So there's one part of this story that you should know the full context for. So that Christian Church organization, their denials about them asking for this contract was pretty convincing to me. Mm-hmm. It sounded like they really meant it when they were, and because they gave specific details that were credible about how the Biden administration asked them to do it. They even said, "Look, we didn't have any experience in this. This just landed on our footstep. We didn't want it, right?" And so. It sounded credible to me. So it seems like it's more of a screw up of the Biden administration than that particular organization. So I just wanted everybody to have that full context. Now, in terms of what they should do, look, I don't want people thinking this is an easy issue. I always remember Trump coming out and saying, healthcare, no one knew it was this complicated. And look, when unaccompanied minors show up in America, it is complicated. There are a couple of different factors. You got to follow the law, and you don't want them coming by themselves. On the other hand, when they do, you can't just send them back, etc. Right? Now, and they're still relatively young administration, right? It hasn't even been 100 days yet. So I understand all of that. But to me, it seems like I always want to be constructive. And one thing that makes sense to me is get them to the sponsors as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. And we've got to have a better sponsor system. So the right wing says, oh, well, you know, if you give them to family members or sponsors, you never see them again. First of all, that's not true. We've shown you the stats. I think it's about 83% come back for their court proceedings. But we could be have a system that's has more checks and balances on the sponsors so that we can get that 83% up to 95% or just a number we're all more comfortable with. Like there should be some degree of consequences if the kids don't come back for hearings that they're supposed to have, et cetera, right? That's the right way to do it. Trying to hold them in government facilities for any period of time is almost never going to work. It's going to create situations where you're worried that the girls are going to go move around, in which case it's harder to track them. And what if there's sexual assault? Oh my God, that's a nightmare. If you don't have them move around, then you have them cooped up in a box, right? There's a lot of no wins there. Let's get them to the sponsors as quickly as we can.
Well, I also think it's a problem when you're communicating that unaccompanied minors will be allowed into the country and go through the proceedings, but families arriving to the border will be turned back. So if you're a parent in one of these Latin American countries who's incredibly desperate to get your children to safety as a result of, by the way, US foreign policy that has completely destroyed and ravaged those countries, well then you're-
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.
You're going to take that risk. You're going to send your child to safety unaccompanied. Wouldn't it be better to actually have a policy in place? Like the half measures with the Biden administration, and we saw this with the Obama administration as well, do not work. Stop trying to straddle the desires of the GOP and then what progressives want. You got to commit to one or the other. And so what he's trying to do here is say, no, I'm a hardliner when it comes to families arriving at the border. Okay, well then people are going to send unaccompanied minors because they're desperate. No parent does that because they're bad people. No parent does that because they enjoy doing that. They do it because they're desperate.
At TYT, we frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your active ID more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET and Wired magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's expressvpn.com/TYT. Check it out today.
But we wouldn't have an unaccompanied minor problem if we had a clear policy on what to do with asylum seeking families, because really that's what's at the heart of this. He did not reverse what Trump did in banning asylum seekers during the pandemic. He's just continuing on with that policy.
Yeah, I just want to add two good points that Anna made there. Number one, so Republicans look at that and go, okay, then turn them all back. That the solution is turn back the kids too. Let them go back through the desert and through that perilous journey with coyotes. At that point, coyotes can't get bait, so they wouldn't even have any guidance. Good luck walking back to Guatemala. Okay, that's the Republican solution. Our solution is no, accept the families as well. That doesn't mean they get to stay. That's why I talk about having a great sponsor program that if folks are released into the country and they don't come back for their hearings, there should be some significant consequences. But in return, we could treat people humanely when they arrive here. So there is a better way to do this, but Biden is trying to split the baby, and you know, almost literally at this point. And you're not gonna win any Republican votes. How many times can we say this? It's not the 1990s. There are no Republicans to win over, they're gone. So middle ground approach, all it does is cost you more of your base voters. If the only thing you care about is politics, but of course the only thing they care about is politics. And because if you cared about it in terms of policy, obviously you would accept the families, not permanently, but so that they can get a hearing. Mm-hmm. And last thing that Anna mentioned, look, I got kids, a lot of you out there have kids. How desperate would you have to be to send your kids on a journey of hundreds and hundreds of miles, and sometimes with coyotes who are like really bad guys? How desperate would you have to be? You think anybody does that out of who cares, indifference? No, they love their kids just like we do. And you gotta be incredibly desperate to do that. That's how bad the situation is. That's what we gotta wake up to.
You know, it's interesting because I was curious, what was different about Cuban amnesty, right? Because Cubans, after the Cuban Revolution, were granted amnesty in the United States. And everything just goes back to foreign policy, guys. It's kind of incredible. They were hoping that the US government was hoping that they could use Cubans to fight Fidel Castro in Cuba. Like go to war and reverse the revolution. That's what it was about. But the government doesn't see a use for migrant families seeking asylum. So that's really the cold hard truth of what's happening at the border. And it's really frustrating to see the Biden administration get so concerned about what Republicans have to say about him, what the corporate media has to say about him. He's not winning any favors, either from the left or the right on this issue, by trying to straddle that line. And he's failing pretty tremendously on this issue.
Yeah, and he's giving in a Republican talking points like calling it a crisis, etc. There's just no strength there. There's nonstop triangulation. And it's not gonna work. All it's gonna do is get him in trouble. It's not good policy, it's not good politics. I don't know that Biden's got it in him to turn around. So expect more of this trying to muddle through with half measures, especially that refugee cap that we covered last week. Adopting Trump's brutal refugee cap, what, to get zero Republican voters? Nah, it's in Biden's DNA to go wherever the Republicans are, to meet him halfway, no matter how draconian the Republicans are. And it's not smart politics, and it just it puts all of us in grave danger, because that makes it more likely that a very right wing, and I'm worried fascist Republican will win the next time around, because all we're doing is appeasement.
Definitely. We should take a break, but when we come back, if you're concerned about scams and fraud in regard to these coronavirus vaccination documents and cards, you'd be right in being worried, because we're already seeing it happening. I want to give you the details on that and more when we come back.
Things going on. We got a green sale. That's, you're gearing up for 420. I don't know what's happening on 420. There's a lot of codes in here. Apparently, you're going to take 20% off the Go Green collection at shoptyt.com through Friday. Wow. Shoptyt.com. There's a lot of different ways to go green around this time of year. Okay, yeah, you guys get it. There's the whole marijuana buds right there. Okay, Earth Day is going to be covered on Thursday right here on TYT. John Iadarola is going to lead the proceedings. Anna's going to be here. Ben Dixon, Ida Rodriguez, Wally Mazzano, the Sunrise Movement, Brent Ehrlich. That's all at, oh my God, we got members only coverage coming in at 10:30. It starts at 8:30 p.m. for everybody, but at 10:30 we switch to members only. So make sure you catch all of it. All right, now speaking of members, I'm going to our members section. Hermpes wrote in. The media portraying Biden as FDR or as swayable by the left reminds me of when the media was saying Trump was going to change his tune and start acting more presidential. Nothing will fundamentally change indeed. So here we go. Tina says, today basically sums up why I didn't like or want Biden. Biden's a serial liar, always was and always will be. But as much as I love and do, and I do, just not as much, and wanted Bernie to win, given his silence and complicity with Biden, I'm not sure he would have fought if he had become president. Hashtag disappointed. Look, Tina, unfortunately, I agree with you. Well, this thing I'm starting to think now is, if Bernie had won, would he have been able to effectively fight back against all these guys? I don't know. Anyway, ironically, next I go to handle someone who likes Bernie Sanders. All right, so they're going to close down this facility, but where are the kids going? If they're being moved to other facilities, aren't those already also overwhelmed?
Yes, yes, they are.
Yes.
Yeah, so they're doing nothing, essentially. Like, this changes nothing. It changes nothing. It's not even a Band-Aid.
I'll tell you why they're moving him. They're moving him because of the peeing in the bags. That's an optic that they can't stomach unless Amazon's paying them a lot of money, in which case they stomach it right away. All right, anyway, let's go to Jay Hufford wrote in, Cuban immigrants were worthy victims. They were wronged by our official enemy. Migrants now are victims and therefore unworthy. And so, look, I wanted to make one point about what Anna said. Partly it was like, oh, Cuba, oh, it's because they're suffering so much under communism. What, they're not suffering in Latin America now? The only people that are suffering are people under communism? That makes no sense at all. So it's just politics and ideology and horse crap. That's the reality. We'll be back. We'll be right back. All right, back on TYT, Cenk and Anna with you guys. People who just joined on YouTube by hitting the click button below, Brendan Ray, Serena Butterfly Dragon, there she is again, Ashley D, Ashley, Serena, all of you folks, Brandon, great to have you with us. It's wonderful to have you guys as Young Turks members. You are going to make change possible. That's what we're fighting for, and that's what we're going to get, even if we got to shake some of our own to do it. All right. I appreciate your courage, and I hear that there's some sort of hype train. I hear that it's loaded. I hear it might be able to soon be leaving the station if it hasn't already. That's what's happening on Twitch, and you all know it. Let's just keep it real. All right, Casper, what's next?
All right. Fraudulent vaccination cards are popping up all over the internet, mostly because whether you got a vaccine or not is not basically kept, like there, no one keeps track of it digitally. What you get is some sort of paper document indicating that you've been vaccinated. Well, if you are a fraudster and you're looking to make some money, you can just sell copies of that document, blank copies, for people to fill out for themselves, and that's literally happening right now. So one account on eBay with the username Asian Jackson was shut down after investigators found that that particular account was selling blank vaccine cards. Asian Jackson, the eBay account maintained by a man who works at a Chicago area location of a national pharmacy chain, sold at least 110 blank vaccination cards through eBay, including 50 cards alone on April 11th. Now, I want to be clear about something. That pharmacy worker says that he is not the person who's, you know, someone basically hacked into his eBay account and is using it to sell these fraudulent documents.
Of course.
I don't know how true that is. That's what he's claiming. That's why his name hasn't really been revealed here. But this is a real problem, as you know, some schools, workplaces, even public venues restrict access to people who have not gotten their coronavirus vaccine yet.
Yeah. He's like, oh, to my account, I've been meaning to tell eBay a couple of weeks ago, it's hacked and a different email. And I happen to work at a pharmacy.
I know, seriously.
I happen to have access to these things, but obviously the hacking. And so I don't know. Let them investigate and find out what happened. But look, the real problem is not the fact that these are paper. I get that that's a problem.
And that's a huge problem. That's the heart of the problem.
No, look, so number one, let's be fair. They had to get those vaccines out. So they didn't want to go to the paper version. They wanted to do the digital version. Apparently they ran into issues there and they had to go. I totally get that. I likely would have made the same decision. Okay, of course, I don't know all the details of the problems that they ran into because they're not sharing them. By the way, if we'd gone digital, then the right wing would have had, and some portions of the left wing would have had other problems with the digital. Like, oh, they're tracking me, it's Bill Gates, it's Fauci, Tom Hanks, whatever, right?
Don't they already digitally track the kind of vaccinations you've gotten, like outside of coronavirus? Pretty sure they do.
So probably, yeah. But it doesn't matter. It's all about optics and politics, right? Mm-hmm. So would I have minded digital tracking? Of course I don't mind, right? It just says, you know what they're tracking? They're tracking that you got vaccinated. Okay, great.
They're tracking everything you do. Let's just keep it real.
Come on,
guys. You have a tracking device in your pocket all day, every day.
Yeah, if you don't know already, this is now, almost everybody knows this, but like my wife and I are having a conversation in the car about someplace we might go on vacation. I go home and on my desktop, an ad for that place pops up.
No, it's just a coincidence.
Yeah, you worried about Tom Hanks and Fauci and Bill Gates tracking you? Dude, you're already tracked in 1,000 different ways. Mm-hmm. Anyways, so, And our normally in a country, people faking getting a vaccination would be a tiny problem. Like in Taiwan, how often is this going to happen? 0.01%. No one's going to care because it's not a big deal. That's not the heart of the problem. The heart of the problem is that about 30% of this country doesn't want vaccinations. If we had a normal rate of people who don't want to get vaccinated, just a couple of points, it wouldn't matter. We'd have herd immunity anyway. Who cares what they're doing with their paper, vaccination cards? But the problem is a lot of people are going, no, I don't believe in science. And the Republican Party's like, yes, we hate science too. That's right. Let's come up with a conspiracy theory. And 30% of the country instantly believes it.
I know, but what do you do about that, Cenk? Like, what do you do about it? You can't change that. You can't force people to get vaccines.
Yeah.
The only thing you can do
is avoid them.
As an employer, as a person who owns a specific venue, the only thing you can do is take control of that space and ask for documentation indicating that you've been vaccinated or people have been vaccinated so you can actually protect other patrons, other people, other workers, other students, right? That's the only thing you can do. You can't force people to get the vaccine.
Yeah.
The only thing that will persuade them to get the vaccine is if there are limits to what they can and can't do as a result of refusing to get the vaccine. So in order to do that, you need to track it effectively, and they haven't been tracking it effectively. Using paper documents, of course, is gonna lead to a bunch of fraud.
Yeah, it of course it is. I agree with that part. I actually want to give a shout out to one of our viewers who made a really interesting point. Deb Wicks, using YouTube Super Chat. We love doing the show with you guys. And Deb, thanks for writing in. Wrote in, found out today that only 5 of my 19 employees have gotten the vaccine or even intend to. How are we ever going to achieve any level of herd immunity? I am seriously depressed about this ever ending. Okay, so Deb backs up what Anna's saying perfectly. Now Deb has to go into work with 14 out of 19 people not vaccinated and potentially not giving a damn. Now, the good news is, guys, from science, and you can't look, everybody should be cautious. Everybody's got a different risk, metric for which amount of risk they'll be able to withstand. Let's put it that way, even though it's very clunky. Anyway, but once you're vaccinated, the viral load that you receive, even if you get sick. So I got J&J. I got about 2/3 chance that I'm not gonna get sick. But let's say that I get the virus in that 1/3. It's possible, right? But even then, the viral load that you have is much reduced. That's why there's almost no hospitalizations and no deaths. Then it becomes a normal virus, like a cold, right? So I'm not saying don't worry about it, etc. I'm saying go get vaccinated. Because you don't want, I always remember that nobody wants to be the last man to die for a mistake, right? We usually say that about the wars, Vietnam, World War I, etc., right? But in the case of not getting the vaccine, that's what would happen. There's no need to die now. Go get the vaccine. And if it turns out you have it and others don't, yes, you have a slightly elevated risk because of that, right? But it's actually only slightly elevated. It is a low viral load, even if you get it. And so I also don't want you to panic. We gotta go on with our lives because these guys live with us and there's nothing we can do about them. So you go protect yourself. And if they wanna do reckless, weird things, it is a free country. And so we can't make them do it. That it just sucks that we lost a whole wing of America to a faction that just doesn't believe in science, doesn't care, and would rather believe their own mythologies and conspiracy theories than anything closely related to facts.
Well, let me try to give you guys a little bit of a silver lining to this story, because there are some statistics indicating that a pretty good chunk of Americans have at least gotten their first dose. So at least 129.5 million Americans have gotten at least one or both doses of a coronavirus vaccine and have received a free proof of vaccination card with the logo of the CDC as officials push to inoculate the nation. Now, again, you know, that documentation is a little sketchy because of the fact that it's very easily, people can basically photocopy a version of it and fill it out themselves. But nonetheless, this is good news that the majority of Americans appear to be interested in getting the vaccine. Half of Americans have already gotten at least one shot. I do worry about people who aren't able to get the vaccine because of underlying health issues. Those are the people we need to worry about when it comes to these anti-vaxxers. But overall, based on what you said, Cenk, you're right. The research that I've read about this indicates that if you do get the vaccine, the odds of you getting incredibly sick and hospitalized is greatly reduced. You know, nearly non-existent, but obviously read that research for yourself. Don't take my advice or Cenk's advice. We're not medical professionals here.
That's definitely true. One last fun thing. Texas and Tennessee accidentally made the fraud cases much worse. Accidentally, I don't know. They put out blank versions of it on their website.
Why? These cards. Why did they do that?
But
why?
So people just started printing them out.
But why would they do
and
that?
Saying that I got vaccinated. So at a minimum, it's a knucklehead move to do that because it's inviting fraud. I don't know what it is at a maximum. Are there Republican officials in Tennessee and Texas that might have done that out of bad faith? Because like, guys, go get out, let's endanger everybody else, they're just faking. I don't know. Would I put it past them? No. But either way, you have to worry about crazy right wingers we all live with less if you go get vaccinated. So do it as quickly as you can.
All right, let's move on to one of the most disturbing stories we've covered in a long time, because it has to do with cops committing elder abuse out in the open. So, police in Loveland, Colorado used excessive force and were incredibly brutal toward a 73-year-old woman named Karen Gardner, someone who has dementia and who apparently forgot to pay a whopping $13.88 worth of merchandise at Walmart. So she has dementia, she walks out of Walmart forgetting to pay for it, and that's when the cops are involved. The videos that we're about to show you are incredibly disturbing, so I want to give you that warning. But this is how cops in Loveland, Colorado responded to this elderly 73-year-old woman.
Police, stop. You want to stop, lights on, siren, stop. You just left Walmart. Do you need to be arrested right now? No, no, no. Okay. Let's stop. Come on. Come on.
I'm going home.
Stop being here. No, 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 on the ground. Stay on the ground.
I'm going home. I'm going home.
On the ground. On the ground. On the ground. Bravo 242. After a short struggle, she is now detained. Come on. I am code 4.
Don't do that.
Why did you do that? I told you to stop. You don't get to act this way. Come on, stay on the ground. All right, let's stand up. Why are you doing this, ma'am? All right. Stand up.
I'm not doing anything.
Right now you're resisting, which is not gonna fly with me. And before that, you tried to steal from Walmart.
Wow, what a tough guy. Really doing a great job there, roughing up a 73-year-old woman with dementia. The police department is now facing a federal lawsuit. I'll give you the details on that, but Cenk, why don't you jump in?
So we got a couple more videos on this, and I wanna talk about police procedure. I think that's the most important thing here. But I wanted to comment on that video because you saw the beginning there. Don't lose track of the beginning. I mean, my God, he didn't try to get in front of her and talk to her and say, hey, where are you going? What happened? Talk to me, etc. He went to the arrest instantly. He went to throwing down a 73-year-old woman who weighs 80 pounds. Like what? You saw it there. 1 second, 2 seconds. How long did it take for him to immediately go to put handcuffs on her? Hold on, do you guys saw her? Did she look well? I don't know, I thought she didn't look well, right? I mean, but I only got to see her for a second before she's on the ground. Like I would have, the way she said she looked kind of dazed, I would have wanted to talk to her for, I don't know, 5 whole seconds, 10, 15 seconds, a minute before I ascertained, is she confused? She's 73, you could tell. Is she confused or is she a thief that I should throw on the ground? But as I'll talk about more later, we don't train our cops that way. Everything, if all you have is a hammer, everything looks like nails. So they see a frail old woman who might have dementia and they see a nail.
Look, let's just keep it real. This is what policing mostly focuses on. Like, yes, there's a racial component to it, there's no question. But at the end of the day, cops are not really there to protect and serve. Cops are there to protect business interests. We saw it with Occupy, we saw it in this story because, oh my God, this woman forgot to pay Walmart for $13.88 worth of merchandise. Wow, wow. Oh, I think Walmart's gonna be okay, right? But you're right, Cenk. It's just this sense of, how dare you not listen to my commands? I'm gonna rough you up now. And it's totally justified because whatever a cop says goes. Doesn't matter if it's a 73-year-old woman with dementia, doesn't matter if she looks dazed and confused. I know people with dementia. I mean, that's that. Just watching this video, there are moments where they're childlike and defenseless, you know, and you watch the way he's roughing her up and proudly doing so in this lengthy body cam footage. By the way, on multiple occasions, the cop says to other cops, "Oh, you know, she's probably around 80 pounds. Oh, she's frail." He knows, but he's still roughing her up anyway. And by the way, the video goes on. Let's watch.
I'm not going anywhere.
Why are you fighting with me? Why are you trying to slip the cuffs off?
I'm going home.
Stop.
I'm going home.
No, you're not. Are you finished? Are you finished? We don't play this game. You understand me? If you try to kick me, oh, this is gonna be bad.
I'm going home.
Stop.
I'm going home.
Ouch. Are you finished?
I'm going home.
Hey, stand up. We're not going to hold you.
Let's just go to the ground. On the ground.
I'm going home.
On the ground. Why are you doing this? Let's see who she is.
I'm going home.
Yeah, I know. I'm just trying to search her real quick.
Oh, I don't know.
No, we wrestled for a minute.
So there's now a federal lawsuit against the Loveland, Colorado Police Department, because in the video that you just watched, it is alleged that the cops dislocated her shoulder, which is pretty easy to believe because you can see how they're roughing her up. Gardner allegedly, again, left Walmart without paying $13.88 worth of merchandise. Employees stopped her, took back the items, and then refused to let her pay when she offered her credit card. She was unable to communicate with them or understand what was happening. Gardner, by the way, according to the lawsuit, lives with dementia. This is characterized by the impairment of at least two brain functions, the lawsuit states. On top of that, she has sensory aphasia, which they describe as an inability to understand spoken, written, or tactile speech symbols that result from damage to the area of the brain concerned with language. Austin Hopp is the name of the cop who was roughing her up there. And we do have one more video, Cenk, because the situation was so brutal and violent that a bystander had to come up and confront the cops about how they were roughing up an elderly person who, by the way, the bystander thought was literally a child, because of how tiny she is. But Cenk, go ahead.
Yeah, before we get to that video. So look, you notice in almost all these videos, cop videos, that they blame the victim. So they keep saying, why are you making me do this to you? By the way, a line that a lot of people who've been abused will be familiar with, unfortunately.
Yep.
Always abusers tell their victims, why are you making me do this to you? And so I feel like the citizenry is the people who are being abused. The cops are the ones that are in power situation, and they keep saying, you're resisting, we don't play this game. Now, that line right there is the epitome of what they are taught. So some of you might look at that and go, that particular cop is terrible, I can't believe he did this to this poor woman. And I don't know how I feel about that. I do know there's
he's terrible. He should be fired immediately.
No, look, I think that's an interesting question, because 100%. There's no way in the world that they didn't teach him to do that.
They might have.
They taught him to do
but
that.
But I also know that the police force, local police departments are infiltrated with all sorts of scum, including that guy.
So look, I don't know about any of that. I don't know any of his personal proclivities or his politics. Yeah, but guys, the most important, the reason I'm telling you that is not to defend that particular cop. It's to tell you, you're not gonna solve the problem by firing that cop. They train every cop that way. So if anyone dares to resist even 1%, you break them. It doesn't matter if they're 73 years old. The only thing that matters is, my God, they can't be rich. If they're rich, then we're in a lot of trouble. So don't do it to rich people. But outside of that, okay, If anybody disrespects you a tiny bit, they don't follow your orders, and don't give them any time. Don't give them 5 seconds. You either shoot them dead in 2 seconds, like they did to Tamir Rice in Cleveland, 12-year-old boy in a park, right? Or like this woman, you tackle her in 2 minutes and show her who's boss. You tell me, I don't care. You're any cop, even if you're the best cop in the world. They didn't teach you that in training? Yeah, they taught you that. Don't ever let them disrespect your orders, break them. You know it. Every cop in the country thinks that. They take sometimes good people, oftentimes I hope good people, and they train them to be monsters. You think, okay, here's how I can prove it. Is every cop in the country going, I can't believe this bad apple. I can't believe how outrageous he treated that woman. Guaranteed every cop, nearly every cop in the country looks at that video and goes, that's what they taught us to do.
I think every cop looks at that video, and anyone who might have a problem with it will refuse to speak out, because if you do speak out, you'll be retaliated against. We've seen story after story of cops being retaliated against. Do they explicitly train them to do that? I don't know. But what I do know, by the way, what I know based on what an Oath Keeper just told 60 Minutes over the weekend, cops are like training Oath Keepers and other right-wing militias. Okay, there's scum within the police departments. I think it's too simplistic to say it's the training. There's a culture of violence. There's a culture of protecting business interests over the lives of people, even when it comes down to $13.88. And by the way, that guy thinking he's a tough guy, that guy thinking he's good at his job, thinking he's some sort of hero for wrestling and brutalizing an elderly person, which by the way, it's amazing to me that he's out of breath while he's doing it. Man.
So look,
like maybe training people to be like physically healthy if they're going to be police officers. But anyway, I want to go to one more video, Cenk, before we go to your last comment. So let's take a look at what a bystander had to say when he witnessed the cops roughing up this elderly woman.
Where's your sergeant?
Huh? Who's my sergeant?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, first I can tell you that. Sergeant Metzler, he's at the police department. You can go talk to him if you have an issue.
Yeah, give me your car so I can put a report.
Okay.
I see you there, how you throw that little kid.
Little kid?
Well, I don't know.
He's not a little kid.
And this he was just walking, and I see you how
so
you grab him.
Stole from Walmart and refused to stop, refused to listen to lawful orders, and to fight me. This is what happens when you fight the police. I have to use force to safely detain her. That's what this is. This isn't just some random act of aggression.
So the reason why he thought that it was a little kid is because she's tiny and frail. The lawsuit describes Garner as just 5 feet tall, weighing just 80 pounds. Hop himself, that's the cop, later on estimates that she's between 4'10 and 5 feet tall and weighs maybe 100 pounds. He then told the other cop, Jalali, that Garner was like 20 pounds. Elsewhere, he also says that she was a frail little thing. So why did you need to rough her up like that?
Yeah, so two things on how he roughed her up. One, he probably thinks he didn't, and that's because he was trained. And so you say it's not just the training, it's the culture, but that's my point. Where did they get the culture? They got the culture from the training. But to your point, Anna, about how they protect business interests, and that's the main point of the cops. Well, I totally agree with that. So the Oath Keepers go in, and they have cops that are apparently training them across the country. And is there a big drive to get to find those cops and get them out of the police departments? No. On the other hand, if there was a news story about how a couple of cops in the country were training left-wing protesters on how to oppose oil pipelines, they'd be found like this. They'd be taken out of the police department. There'd be a national investigation. And why? Because you got to protect property rights more than you have to protect human rights. And that's also part of the training and the culture of policing. So by the way, that bystander, incredibly brave.
I know.
Right?
Yeah.
You're going to go up as a brown man with an accent to a cop and tell him what he's doing wrong. Man, you got guts, brother. So we appreciate you. Okay. Now, think about defund the police. This is the second point. One of the things they were trying to say is, let's take some of the money from the police departments and use it towards social services, because we're sending in hammers to deal with things that aren't nails. And so apparently either he sucks at his job or the training was awful, but likely both, on the issue of spotting someone with dementia. No one told you that if it's a senior citizen, that they might have an Alzheimer's issue or a dementia issue or some cognitive issue. That never occurred to you? Man, why are you making me do this? She said 1,000 times in the longer video, I'm just trying to go home. I'm just trying to go home. And she's, I'm going home. She didn't try, I'm going home. I'm going home. When does it occur to you that she might have a cognitive issue? It occurred to me in the first second, and you say, okay, that's hindsight. But guys, after you're watching 20 minutes of her saying, I'm going home in a way that clearly indicates she doesn't understand what's happening, it's apparent that none of the cops got trained on any of this. Instead of saying, hey, here's somebody that needs a social worker, they were taught, here's someone who needs an ass kicking. Think about how insane that is. We've got to stop teaching them that.
All right, we got to take a break. We'll come back for hour two with more police brutality and that Oath Keeper story that I teased earlier in the show. Come right back.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.